You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Now, Solim Simanga, he is executive mayor at the city of Tshwane. Good to talk to you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, are you well?
I'm a bit flurry, but I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm better than you, clearly. But I hope you will be able to. Chat to us about some of the issues coming up, coming out of your city. And there's just so much, and you know, I don't have time to cover everything. But firstly, I must start with what has caused a lot of frustration over the past couple of weeks. I've had a lot of calls from motorists saying, "Look." So it is the Waltloo Licensing Center, the Centurion Licensing Center, is not Acacia Licensing Center. What is going on?
Well, Kolani, I started engaging with the Minister of Intelligence around a number of issues, including this one. One is that we are having a serious attack on the city's ability to provide services. But we are suspecting that this is a concerted effort, because it's not just a opportunistic criminal elements that are coming in, but this is people who know exactly what it is that they're targeting. I mean, in Waltloo, it was they went and stole the E-Nitis computers. They went and stole information, which, by the way, they might not be able to use unless if they're able to decode and recode those computers, because they didn't steal just any computer. They went and stole the computers that, you know, are able to assist with the licensing. So we suspected that this is done by people who want to then start cloning licenses or assist people that don't have licenses to get licenses illegally.
Cloning licenses.
No, yes, but as I said, you need to really have the ability to decode and recode, this computer. So it's not as if you can just go and do a plug and play from an internet cafe. You need the ability for you to be able to access the national database. This is the same thing that happened again in Centurion. And luckily, Kolani, they attacked Acacia, and we were able to apprehend two culprits that were involved in the syndicate. And we are following up on a few leads to find out internally who might have been possibly involved in this activities.
Gee, okay, it sounds really scary. But you've got it, and you link it to what happened at the Hawkshead office, and you're thinking, what exactly is going on in this country? Anyway, another issue that's caused a lot of people to be angry and calling us is the issue of the security guards who will lose their jobs, about 3,000 of them, because in their positions, apparently, you are deploying Metro Police.
Kolani, let's again clear the matter here. We did not fire any security guards. The contracts, the security contract, we have a watchman service contract which ended in March. And we informed the service providers accordingly. We informed the companies accordingly. But we then decided to give them a 3 months extension, so that they'll be able to get their affairs in order, and they will see what they will need to do with their companies and with their personnel going from there. Now, in certain instances, what is happening right now is actually sponsored, because some of the companies are now trying to force the city's hand to extending their contracts by using these guys who are their employees. Now, if we go this route of ensuring that people are forcing our hand, Kolani, then it means that anybody else that comes, whose contract is coming to an end, will be forced to be renewed. The provider, service provider, the services will have to then be renewed at gunpoint, because now we are forced, because people are frustrated, they're facing unemployment. Instead of the companies themselves finding alternatives, work for the security guards, they're forcing now the city to then absorb these guys on a permanent basis. Now, I had a meeting with a number of people, including the representative of SAMU, which we had actually indicated to them that, given the city's financial position at the moment, we are not able to go again on a 850 million rand security tender.
Is that how much now, it is? 850 million.
Yeah, 850 million. The security contract costs 850 million, which is at excess of 200. It's over 3 years, which is in excess of 230 million rand every year.
Almost a billion. But you're fighting on both ends then, because you are fighting with the security people who want their jobs back. But on the other hand, you have Metro Police saying, we didn't train for this and we are not prepared to go. In fact, I had Samu on the show, was it yesterday? Samu saying, the biggest problem here is that you didn't consult them and their members are not going to agree to be deployed as members of the Tshwane Metro Police.
Well, Kolani, you see, that's another matter that needs to be unpacked so that people understand what is exactly happening. You had, before we came in, you had 1,500 cadets recruited in the Metro Police, which, by the way, was not even budgeted for, all right? So you now have an extra 1,500 personnel that had been trained or that underwent training, and which some of them are not even fully qualified as Metro Police officers. Some of them are not competent in carrying a weapon, a firearm, as an example, and there are some other modules that some of them had failed. Now, we said instead of firing or in ending this training program and firing some of these guys for not being competent, we are going to continue to employ them and ensure that they continue with their training while they're doing a service for the municipality. Now, if I'm having now personnel that I'm already paying, in one way or the other, and why shouldn't I then be able to use them for security services that we are now already paying a service provider to do? That's one thing. And we also said that, if we are able to then retain these people while we're training them, some of them will actually be then promoted into full Metro Police officers as they complete their course. But also, it's very wrong to think that policemen are not able to do watchman services, because in actual fact, one of the things that they're supposed to be doing is to do the protection of our facilities.
Yeah, but I got calls as well from people who are saying, but wait a minute, we need these officers on our roads. Police visibility on our roads is crucial given the carnage that's going on there.
Okay, Kolani, let me put to you this way. We have more than 4,000 Metro Police officers in the city. They're the biggest number in all the metros in the country, right? So that's where our problem is. And I'm saying, we had 1,500 more that were recruited last year or the 2 years back without and then being put on the previous 2 years' budget. So that's why you would go that you'll find that in the Metro Police Department, there has been an overspending in terms of their budget, because that hasn't been budgeted for and had actually not been factored in when they did the recruitment of this personnel. So one of the things is, are then fire these people for not being competent and not being able to be full Metro Police officers, or then ensure that they are retained properly trained while they're still on doing a service for the city, and be able to then use them somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a conundrum where then I would say, I have the resource, do I use it or do I let it go and then outsource the service?
Yeah, it is a conundrum just broadly speaking then, because on some of the things we know the financial position of your city, you've got to cut down, right? But on the other hand, there's an issue of whether or not you are looking after the poor. And I'm saying it on the back of another story that took place yesterday where traders apparently held a director for five hours, and it was they were complaining about the misappropriation of their funds that had been allocated to them by the previous ANC administration. So, and I believe that money, you said there was no budget for that kind of thing.
Well, there was not money for that at all. I met with informal traders and I agreed with them that A, we will try to formalize how we communicate with them. So what we did is we put a constitution together, which we, by the way, invited all informal traders across the city to come in into a conference venue where we sat with them and say, how do we iron out the issues of illegal trading and where you're supposed to be trading? That's number one. How do we ensure that one of the things that we will do is to have a trust fund open where you will be able to contribute towards this trust fund, because you are saying that you want to have the ability to be able to take your kids to school. There was never any budget. And I demonstrated to them and showed them there was never any budget that had been put aside by the municipality. That which had been put and given to them before was done so illegally. There was never any money that had been put aside for this bazaar. So we, unpacked the whole scenario to them, and there was an understanding. So what happened yesterday, I don't know where it came from and why, this is now, becoming the issue again, when we had a meeting and we discussed this matter, and we had agreed, actually, that once all other six regions have had their elections, one of the things that we will do is have representatives that will have a mayoral meeting or a mayoral cluster, if you like, that will be able to then address this issue and come up with permanent solutions going forward. So we've already had agreement around these things, and I don't know why that they decided to go to the streets yesterday.
What is clear is that perhaps you're encountering a lot of difficulties in the process, let's say, of cleaning up what happened there. But also it's a difficulty around identifying priorities. Where should the money go as opposed to obviously dealing with cutting back?
Well, Colani, that's exactly it. Because what we need to do right now, Colani, I'm sitting with a 20 billion rand maintenance backlog, right? I need to replace asbestos pipes across the city. I need to make sure that the electricity infrastructure, is upgraded and maintained and upgraded. Because right now, in certain areas, electricity is hanging by a thread, because you find that substations are actually loaded to the maximum. And this is why in certain instances we have to, almost on a daily basis, replace substations. We remove illegal connections by those that are connecting electricity illegally, and we are saying that we now need to make sure that we are able to connect electricity to those people, put meters to those people, so that people who are consuming will be able to pay for those that are able to pay,
But when you don't have the money, like you don't, then where are you going to get the money to build the wall in Mahube Valley from?
Colin, the issue of the wall in Mahube, by the way, the wall was there before. Let's clear that one. The wall was there before. When bonded houses were built, the wall was there. So that was a compromise. The people were saying themselves from both sides, if we are able, on the bonded houses side, people are saying, if we're able to stop these people from accessing our infrastructure, people from, connecting their illegal water connections into our main water supply, which then ended up costing individual thousands of rand, because now somebody's connecting water directly into your meter, and people connecting sewage directly in front of your gate, which meant that you had the blockages time and time again. So that was the problem that was coming from the formal side. The problem that was coming from the informal side was that they were then forced to be removed from that place. So the compromise was to say, well, if we are, because by law I cannot now remove the people that were on that piece of land illegally now, because I don't have an alternative to give to them, or the alternative that was available to them was not suitable. Now, that was the compromise, to say, create a buffer between us, then both sides, the informal side will be at least having a place to stay in, and they were happy about that. The former side will then at least not have any of the infrastructure being tampered with. And one of the reasons, one of the issues that had been brought up again was the issue of security, which they were saying that since the informal settlement came in, there's been an increase in housebreaking and all of it. So that was something that, when we talked to both sides, they were saying that if you create the buffer between us, at least
But do you realize it's quite a strange solution? It really isn't a solution.
I know that. And this is why, by the way, I had the ANC councillor, the ward councillor there. And one thing that people are not asking and people are not talking about is that there was fight up to that very day when I intervened, and I came up, or when we decided that we are going to come up with measures that will ensure that there is peace. And that very same evening, people went to sleep and have been sleeping peacefully, because what I came up with is not just a solution that Simana dreamt of. It's something that both communities are saying they're willing to compromise on.
Okay.
It's not an ideal situation, but under the circumstances, this is what it is.
Okay, so Lim Simanga, then, the executive mayor of the city of Tshwane. I wonder what you think about what's going on in that city.